Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm so excited to be here. We have tons of new affiliates. I want to thank everyone for tuning in every day. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. We're trying to keep it a nice mix of informative news and also fun news because, you know, it's lunchtime. People like to chill out a little bit and I don't blame them. But we do have serious stuff going on. Now, you might notice a shift. For a long time, what we heard about was the crisis on the border. When Trump was president, first there wasn't a crisis. When he wanted a wall, they were saying he was manufacturing it. And then they had the kids in cages narrative when that was a real crisis. And now that we have the highest numbers we've seen in quite some time, I think it's like 20 years or something, once again, nothing to see here, folks. Move along. The media is moving on to bigger things like why Tucker Carlson won't get a vaccine and take a selfie while he's getting it. But there are experts out there. See, and when I say experts, I think Dr. Fauci has kind of ruined the word. But we have our experts here at the Howie Carr Show. And Jessica Vaughn is a real expert. She serves as director of policy studies for the Center for Immigration Studies. And Jessica, thank you so much for joining the show.
Glad to be with you, Grace.
Jessica, the first thing I want to talk about, so I had all of these things printed out, all of these stories, which I will get to. But then you sent me a little tidbit. And I have to say, I have to start with it because it's absolutely insane. I'm going to read this. And Jessica, I want you to explain to people what this is about. It's talking about Biden's budget. And it says this funding level also provides $470 million, an additional $84 million over 2021 for the offices of professional responsibility at Customs and Border Protection and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Now, here's the kicker. To ensure that DHS workforce complaints, including those related to white supremacy or ideological and non-ideological beliefs, are investigated expeditiously. Am I losing my mind, Jessica, or is that real?
I couldn't believe it when I read it in the White House budget documents issued on Friday. It's borderline slanderous, I think, to suggest that that the DHS workforce, first of all, is even getting any complaints about so-called white supremacy or any ideological or non-ideological beliefs that they might have. Does that include religion? It's ridiculous. They're asking for $84 million to hire people to investigate officers of these two important agencies for these bogus concerns that they have about about beliefs that they imagine are there. I think it's probably the most insulting thing that I've ever read about coming from the Biden administration about the men and women of DHS, except possibly when then Senator Kamala Harris suggested that the Border Patrol was just like the Ku Klux Klan.
That one's hard to beat. I will give you that. But I have to say, when I read this, and I'm thinking to myself, because we had a guest on prior to this in the last hour, and we were talking about how a lot of times when the left focuses so much on, you know, racial divides or different belief systems, and they get hyper-focused on this woke mentality, that a lot of other things suffer. And when I think of the Border Patrol agents and what they're dealing with right now, they are so overwhelmed. You can speak to that better than anyone. They are so overwhelmed, and now what the White House is worried about is complaints about racism, not about the fact that there's all of these children sleeping on the floor.
Right, and that people are pouring across the border thanks to the policies that Biden has implemented, that people all over the world are turning over their life savings and putting them and their children at risk to pay criminal smuggling organizations to take this long, dangerous journey to come into the United States because the Biden administration is welcoming them. But there's, you know, they don't see that the moral problem there with that and the effects on communities that are having to absorb all of these new arrivals, the schools, the hospitals, the neighborhoods, and all that, the harm that this is going to cause. I mean, they don't live in these neighborhoods. Their kids don't go to these schools. They're not really going to be affected by it, except they may have some, you know, cheaper household help or something as a result. But the damage this is doing to our country, to our national security, potentially, to the quality of life in American communities is incalculable. And they can't even be bothered to go down and see what is going on, Biden and Harris. They are just either completely oblivious or happy with what's going on. And I'm not sure which one is worse, frankly. But this is a huge problem. And to act like the men and women of the Border Patrol and ICE who are doing their best to operate under these horrible conditions, bringing in their own kids' toys and clothing to help take care of these kids that parents have paid to have smuggled across our border, rescuing kids who get thrown in the river or dropped over the wall. I'm not quite sure at what point this is going to get to for Biden to realize that he's got to do something different. I guess maybe when Nancy Pelosi decides it's a problem or something. I'm not quite sure.
Well, she says everything. You know, we're under great direction at the border. I'm sure you saw that clip. But I'm speaking with Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. And while that little tidbit from Biden's budget, I'm actually going to tweet that out, Jessica, because I already have some conservative writers who are asking me, where did that come from? I want to write about that now. But another thing I wanted to mention to you, which originally I thought was the most egregious clip of the day, was the Biden administration had a funding request, and it was on Friday night, and it was for $1.5 trillion in discretionary funding requests submitted by the Biden White House on Friday, reveals a multi-billion dollar plan to resettle migrants who cross the southern U.S. border and to speed up their path to citizenship. And I noticed, Jessica, that you've retweeted some articles, one recently by Byron York, that talks about how the goal here is simply to get people over the border, to feed them and house them for a little while, and then just to let them come into the country. There's not much of a system in place here.
There isn't. Yes. And first of all, that's a really important point, is that the Biden administration is not trying to stop this influx of people. They are trying to manage it. And they're telling us that they're doing so more humanely than ever before, but it certainly didn't look that way to the delegation of Republican members of Congress and to a couple of journalists who went with them. There's nothing humane about this, but they don't seem to be stopping it at all. The orders are that, you know, most people get in. They're turning back some people because of the pandemic, the Title 42 public health authorities. If you come as a single adult get caught, you're getting turned back. But pretty much most of the families and kids are getting across. And one of my colleagues who's been reporting from down there says that a significant share of the families who are coming now are not from Mexico or Central America. They're coming from Haiti. They're coming from Cuba and from other places farther afield. So, I mean, this is definitely, you know, getting around the world now that it's time to come to be admitted. And there is no effort to stop it, just to allow it in a way that they're calling it humane, but it's really, they just, you know, are just kind of trying to distract people and not let them see what's really going on with kids crammed in these facilities, 300 kids where there should be, I think, 50. people just be really literally walking over the river and staggering up to the Border Patrol and hanging out under a bridge until they get taken to a larger tent facility and eventually put onto buses. Some can afford to fly themselves to where they're going.
Yeah, I've been seeing those stories, Jessica, of especially the kids being flown or driven by bus to totally different states, to these kind of like expo centers where they're setting up beds and things like that. And maybe I'm missing something, but I just keep thinking, okay, but then what? Like now we're bringing all of these kids crammed together in a new city. And what's the plan? There doesn't seem to be any plan. Another thing I want to ask you about quickly, Jessica, you talk a lot about MS-13 gang members. And I think that sometimes, especially on the left, people try to make that into a right-wing talking point, like we're exaggerating what's happening. But you have a really good grip of the numbers and just how bad this is. Can you explain to people what is going on and just the percentage of these MS-13 gang members who are in the country illegally?
Well, we know that MS-13 is taking advantage, like other transnational criminal gangs and criminal organizations and terrorist groups, are taking advantage of the chaos at the border to move their operatives and new recruits into the United States. And in the case of MS-13, which is a violent but very profitable gang, their aim is to expand their criminal activity here, to boost the membership of the cliques around the country so that they can, extort more people, run more prostitution rings, run more drugs, whatever it is that they're doing, traffic in fake COVID-19 products and N95 masks, anything they can do to make a buck, run cigarettes, whatever, they're going to do it. And because some of the money goes back home to El Salvador, they are recruiting, our sources tell us, not only in the neighborhoods where they end up and in the schools where they are allowed to attend when they're not working, they're recruiting even within the federal government holding facilities for the migrants. They're recruiting along the way when they're being smuggled in with other kids. This is a bonanza for the MS-13 organization, and we know there are enough, any gang investigator will tell you that that's what's responsible for the huge increase in MS-13 criminal activity, which always comes with violence, because that's how the members elevate themselves within the gangs to commit acts of violence. And that's what's responsible for the MS-13 resurgence that has been occurring. Now, under Trump, they were trying to disrupt MS-13 and remove the illegal alien gang members. That's what makes them vulnerable. I did a study of gang arrests in Texas and cross-tabbed it with MS-13 arrests in Texas and discovered that, so I knew their immigration status and their gang status, and could determine that 89% of the MS-13 members arrested in Texas during the time period of my study were in the country illegally. So yeah. That's how, we don't have to let them hang around. We can deport them, but we shouldn't wait until they hack off somebody's hand or commit murder before we do that.
Exactly. Jessica Vaughn, thank you so much for joining the show. If people want to read all of your work, where can they go?
Everything we do is at cis.org, and I'll send you a link to that budget document also on the new funding request.
Perfect. I can't wait to look through it. That is absolutely insane, the stuff they're spending money on. Jessica Vaughn is fabulous. Thank you so much for coming on. We hope to have you on again soon. By the way, guys, allergy season is here, and that means one thing. Jared, what does it mean for you?
It means scratchy throat, runny nose, runny eyes. The whole thing is just miserable, and the pollen came down this weekend, and it was horrible.
But not anymore.
But not anymore, because I have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, which it actually has helped me one time with an allergy headache, but it helps me breathe better, because what it does is you just plug it in. It's this little unit you plug in. You turn it on. You don't have to change filters. You don't have to deal with cords. It's a unit you plug into the wall. It's about the size of a phone charger. Grace is going to show it to you now. You just plug it in. You turn it to your desired specification, and it actually ionizes the air around you. It cleans the air, so you are breathing clean air in a clean environment, and it is wonderful if you have allergies.
For pollen, pet, kitchen, musty basements, tobacco, or any unwanted odors, you need the Thunderstorm. Right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE, and you will save an additional $10 off the sale price, and you'll get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I just tweeted out that excerpt from the president's request for fiscal year 2022 for discretionary funding. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @G_Curley. Jared, where can they follow you on Twitter?
You can follow me at my name, at Jared Diglio, although I'm not very active on Twitter, so it's not a fun follow, but I'm there if you want to.
All right, so let's do the poll question here quickly, and then I do want to try to get to some of this Pete Buttigieg sound. Today's poll question is brought to you by Nauset Disposal, affordable rubbish and recycling from Duxbury to Provincetown. Go to NausetDisposal.com. That's NausetDisposal.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Would you avoid eating and drinking indoors after getting vaccinated?
No, eat, drink, and be merry. I've been doing it for months.
3% of the audience say yes, they would avoid it. 97% say no.
Let's talk a little bit here about Pete Buttigieg, because this story kind of cracks me up. We reported on this, Jared, last week. Because I remember talking about the fuzzy math that was involved. Pete Buttigieg, as well as a lot of other senior members of the Biden administration, kept saying that this infrastructure plan was going to create 19 million jobs. In fact, we have a flashback. Let's do cut 10.
The American Jobs Plan is about a generational investment. It's going to create 19 million jobs. And we're talking about economic growth that's going to go on for years and years.
Now, this does not make sense based off the study that the administration is going off of. Moody Analytics actually says that it will create, without the budget plan, around 16 million jobs. So that, you know, if you were to do the addition subtraction here, that means it's actually making two point something million jobs, not 19 million jobs. And Pete Buttigieg knows that he's spewing a lie. So does everyone in the Biden administration. But it sounds good. Makes people feel good. That's what we're all about at the Biden administration. Don't worry about if it's true or not. How does it make you feel? So Chris Wallace took a break from being Biden's cheerleader and decided to press Buttigieg on this. Cut 11.
So it doesn't, as you said last Sunday, create 19 million jobs. Again, Secretary Buttigieg, why mislead folks?
Well, you're right. I should have been more precise. The 19 million jobs that'll be created are more than the jobs that'll be created if we don't do the plan. And it's very important to make this point. As
right,
you just
showed us, 2 million more,
Moody's
not,
is
not
saying that we
million.
Will create 2.7 million. Yeah, exactly. It'll create 2.7 million more jobs than if we don't do it.
They are.
What?
They are the party of absolute gaslighters. They pretend they don't understand what you're saying. What he's saying is your plan is going to create 2.7 million jobs, not 19 million jobs. Why are you lying about it? He goes at it again. Pete Buttigieg, he can't hear it. He can't see what he's saying. He can't hear what he's saying. He's going off of the script. Cut 12.
You're the one who cited Moody's Analytics as 19 million, and it's actually 2.7 million, which is a bunch, but it's not what you said.
It's part of a scenario that Moody says will create 19 million jobs. But the bottom line is it's going to add jobs. And this is a direct refutation of people who are saying otherwise. So, you're right. I should be very precise.
You just shouldn't lie. That is a blatant lie. It's part of a situation that Moody says will create 19 million jobs. No, your infrastructure plan, which is supposed to combat the racist highways we all drive on, will create 2.7 million jobs. Facts matter, Pete. Words matter. We'll be back on the other side with producer's picks, guys. Do not go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
The other part I have to say about the Pete Buttigieg conversation is the real number's 2.7, which Pete says is a whole lot. For $2.2 trillion, I think we understand why he was fudging the numbers and saying 19 million. Because 2.7 for $2.2 trillion. Why don't you just give all those people $1 trillion? Now, that doesn't make sense. Give all those people... I got fuzzy math here. How much could you give all those people? A lot. A whole lot, as Pete Buttigieg would say. That's the most I have to do with math. It'd be a whole lot. You should be happy with it. That part drives me crazy. He goes, oh, it's a whole lot. Well, is it 19 million or 2 million? Because I thought numbers mattered. I thought science and fact mattered. Where's the fact check? Where's Daniel Dale? I have to say this as well. Joe Biden was just asked about something, the semiconductor chip shortage. And the quote that I'm seeing here is, I'm ready to work with all of you, with the Congress, both parties, to pass the American Job Plan. Something I've been noticing as of late is that Joe Biden, who ran on the fact that he was going to work with both sides of the aisle and he was going to pass things the old-fashioned way, get support from Republicans and Democrats. He's shifting that now. And now he's running with this idea that just because Republicans in Congress or in the Senate don't have any interest in backing up his plans, that doesn't mean that Republican voters aren't on his side. That's what he expects us to believe, that all of these pie in the sky, wackadoo ideas aren't getting the support of, let's say, a Ted Cruz or a Jim Jordan. But the regular American people are on board. They think the $2.2 trillion is a great idea because it's a whole lot of jobs after all. It's absolute malarkey. All right, guys, without further ado, it is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
It's that time of the day where Jared Diglio goes through all of his favorite stories and tells us what's on his mind. Jared, take it away.
Well, of course, Biden expects us to believe that Republican voters support his initiatives and his plans. He expects us to believe he won an election.
That's true. I feel like every time he says Republican voters support me, I'm thinking, okay, so he's got Bill Kristol, Jennifer Rubin. He doesn't have Joe Scarborough anymore because Joe officially became a Democrat. But he's got two right there. Maybe Nicole Wallace, if she's still considered a conservative. Probably Bob Mueller. Let's get a list going. Who does Biden have? Who are these Republican voters he keeps talking about who are supporting these massive spending measures and these crazy ideas? Like the fact that DHS has to start worrying about their white supremacy. They have kids all over the floor packed into these plastic pods. But the number one issue is your white supremacy.
Can't have it growing within ICE or the DHS. Just can't. Speaking of Mr. President, he was sitting in a chair today in front of the fireplace, although the fire wasn't on, so I don't know if he actually like stoked the fireplace today in between ice creams. But he was talking about infrastructure. And of course, we mentioned this last week. Infrastructure is whatever you want it to be. And so they are trying to redefine infrastructure. His energy secretary, I think, this weekend said, oh, we don't want to talk about the old infrastructure. And Joe kind of echoed that today.
Building a support system to take care of our elderly parents and our kids with disabilities at home so that people can go to work. That's investing in infrastructure.
He's old man yelling
chips
again.
Chips like the one I have here, these chips, these wafers, are batteries, broadband. It's all infrastructure. This is infrastructure. So look, we need to build the infrastructure of today, not repair the one of yesterday.
You know what this reminds me of?
No, we do need to repair some bridges and airports, Joe. We do.
You know what this reminds me of, Jared? That commercial where the old ladies are talking about posting on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. She's got the wall with the pictures on.
And she just keeps going, there you go. I posted. And then she goes, I friended you on Facebook. And one of the women says, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. He's like, you see this wafer chip? This is infrastructure. I'm infrastructure. You're infrastructure.
He was holding up what looks like a piece of cardboard that they put under a pizza in a pizza box with some hologram material on it, holding it up. So,
because props always go over so well.
So you mentioned this earlier about Will Smith pulling his movie out of Georgia because of the racist voting laws.
Because he's so brave.
Because he is very brave. Well, according to the Washington Examiner, Hollywood celebrities are threatening to boycott Southwest Airlines for not speaking up about new election integrity laws in Texas. My question, what celebrities actually fly Southwest Airlines? And nothing against Southwest Airlines, but don't they all have private jets? Don't they all have their carbon-eating machines they can fly in?
Well, that kind of brings up another point, which I think is worth noting. A lot of these companies, the people that they're caving to or trying to make happy are never either, like Jared said, using their product, flying on their planes, buying their maple syrup, you know, reading their kids their books. So they're always kind of going after this crowd of people that is never going to like them to begin with. So Southwest should really just say, all right, so we'll lose George Clooney and Michael Moore, who have never flown on our plane one time, but maybe we'll gain half the country that will like us more if we don't back down. I think I know which one's going to make you more money in the long run.
Yeah, that would be like me announcing I'm boycotting Rolls Royce. So I won't be buying a Rolls Royce when of course I'm not.
Well, or it's like when Keith Olbermann says, we're boycotting the Masters. Okay, so the Masters lost Keith Olbermann as a viewer, and they probably gained 100,000 people who can't stand Keith Olbermann. Which one
That's
are you going to choose?
That's a good trade-off.
It is a good trade-off.
So, remember when David Hogg launched his pillow corporation, Good Pillow LLC?
I'm so glad you got to this.
Well, unfortunately, kids, let this be a lesson. Sometimes half-baked dreams don't come true when you have zero idea or experience or knowledge of how to do it. Unfortunately, David Hogg's Good Pillow LLC venture, launched during his spat with Mike Lindell and MyPillow, has been canceled. He announced on Twitter Saturday, resigned and released all shares, any ownership, and any control of Good Pillow LLC, effective immediately. The reasons for my departure rest entirely with me and my own personal commitments, and I truly wish William Legate, that's the co-founder, nothing but the best, he wrote.
How many more? How many more liberal pillow companies have to go out of business? I don't usually steal that line from Howie, but it had to be said. How many more?
Good news, over the next several months, he'll be taking some time to focus on his studies in college and advance the gun violence prevention movement with March for Our Lives personally.
But who will make the pillows?
That I don't know.
Is the question.
I don't know how. I mean, everybody's going to be a lot more woke. Get it?
But, Jared, do you think that? Do you buy that statement that he's just stepping away from it for his schoolwork? I don't know. It seemed like maybe they had a falling out or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the inner workings of the pillow industry. There may be, you know, there may be territories split up. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know who runs the strong arm of the pillow industry. So I don't know if he was muscled out. I don't know these things.
This honestly sounds like a Netflix show.
But I am assuming he had an idea. He probably couldn't find any backers because they were looking at other companies, and they're looking at this kid like, what are you doing? No.
What do you know about pillows?
Yeah.
Well, that's the funny thing is that anyone who was dunking on him, because, you know, for so long he was saying, Mike Lindell, oh, you wait and see once I come out with my pillow. Not well, his pillow, not my pillow. But so people were dunking on him yesterday because it's like, oh, so I guess we're never going to get the chance to see you take over the pillow industry. And then other people were coming to his defense as if he's untouchable. You cannot make fun of David Hogg. And I saw some great points of people who are criticizing him saying, wait a second, the Covington Catholic kids, their lives were ruined when they wore a hat and stood silently and got a picture taken of themselves in a video. This kid is very outspoken. He's a public figure at this point. He made this huge deal about starting this revolutionary pillow company, and then it all breaks down. And we're not supposed to have a chuckle about that? Come on, man.
I'm amazed he couldn't find a bunch of woke corporate sponsors that don't like, you know, conservative views pulling anything out of the air, Delta, Coke, any number of these companies. Like, okay, fine, you don't want the Georgia election law. Well, this is a way to stick it to the conservative man. Fund
right.
These pillows.
And Jared, that's the funniest part about these corporations is that I think a lot of them, especially big ones like Coca-Cola, I think they're going based off the fact that, one, conservatives don't typically boycott as eagerly as the left does. And two, if you have a good product and you get people kind of addicted to it, which, I mean, there's no question people are addicted to Coca-Cola, then they might, their principles might not come into play as much. But if you're starting a company already saying to half the country, we don't want your business, we hate you, you have to get in with everyone first and then disrespect them. You can't disrespect them right out the gates. That's just a business tip from me.
And lastly, in news nobody asked for, a new Indiana Jones movie will begin filming July 29th of 2022. 78-year-old Harrison Ford will be back as the iconic character
for
the fifth installment of the franchise.
Stop.
Somebody, and I forgive my ignorance on this one, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I don't know what she's been in, but she's joining the cast.
Is she? I think she's Bridgerton.
Is that
she's
what?
The
oh, from,
young woman
is that
from
Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that show.
So
steamy.
No word whether Shia LaBeouf will be back as younger Indies or Indiana Jones.
I think he's been canceled.
I don't know. But anyway, July of 2022. They're going to start filming this. Harrison Ford is 78 now. By then, he will be 79. So you don't know what kind of a role he has. But as Twitter points out, the guy's been wearing the same thing for 30 years. Can we just get a new person to play Indiana Jones? And I don't always like replacing with the younger, like rebooting and the replacing James Bonds. I didn't love that. But anyway, fifth Indiana Jones movie on. If you love the Crystal Skull, you're going to love this.
You know I'm going to have an opinion on this, Jared. Here's my take. Well, first of all, disclaimer, I've never seen Indiana Jones, so I cannot comment on the movie because I have zero interest in watching it. But two, you're saying, oh, you know, I'm not always a fan of replacing with younger or whatever. Why do we need another Indiana Jones, period? Did the movies not cover it extensively enough? Is there more to this story that we need to know?
Well, it may be, and this is kind of not necessarily known outside of the film industry, but certain properties have you don't have their rights in perpetuity on contracts. So sometimes, like, say the studio, I think that's Paramount. Paramount Studios may have the rights to Indiana Jones for 30 years, but they have to make a new film every 8 years or so to retain the rights. So that maybe was going on. That's why there's so many Batman movies, because to retain the rights, you got to keep cranking out.
So we all have to suffer so that they can retain the rights?
Yes.
Fine. All right, guys, when we get back on the other side, Howie Carr will be joining us. I can't wait to get his take on all things. Maybe we'll ask him about Indiana Jones. He's a Harrison Ford fan. Maybe he likes that movie. Who knows? We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Hey, Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we have the one and only Howard Lawrence Carr joining us for the Carr crossover this afternoon. Howie, thanks for joining the show.
My pleasure, Grace. Congratulations on making the short takes of the New York Post again.
Thank you very much. You know, that's my favorite thing. I love the New York Post. I keep asking everybody if they have a hard copy of it, but you're the only one who gets the print edition, apparently. Howie, now speaking of print edition, have you heard the latest about Andrew Cuomo?
No, what's the latest?
It's not as lewd and lascivious as some of the other news, but according to the Times Union, Cuomo staffers, this is going to shock you, Howie, Cuomo staffers did not actually work on his book voluntarily.
Oh, that really is a shock.
Remember how
I thought it was a labor of love.
That's what I said. I said, I thought they were just passionate about going through this man's lengthy rants about how wonderful he is and how much he hates Bill de Blasio. I thought they were doing that out of the goodness of their hearts.
It's shocking news. How much was he paying them, or was it just coming out of taxpayers' money?
Oh,
in
no,
New York.
The wonderful people in New York were paying them. I saw today how he was giving a speech and he said, like, New Yorkers are tough. You have to be tough to be a New Yorker. And I thought, yeah, if you want to survive in New York with Governor Andrew Cuomo, you have to be tough. And you also have to not be in a nursing home, apparently.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly, and you know, you have to also be somebody who doesn't have a relative who was murdered by a prisoner who's now on one of the police reform boards. That was a great thing. That hasn't gotten much play nationally for obvious reasons.
Right, for obvious reasons indeed. Howie, did you hear about the 100 corporate executives who are discussing plans to use financial pressure to alter state voting laws? Everyone's getting in on this now.
Yeah, and they were in Georgia, right? Or a lot of them were in Georgia, right? At the Augusta Masters Golf Tournament, you know, which is covered by one of the companies that was there, which is CBS.
Yeah, so a lot of these companies, LinkedIn, Delta, Starbucks, the Atlanta Falcons, they all got together to discuss how they could basically, I'm going to say, bully politicians into doing what they want. And some ideas were ceasing donations to politicians, delaying investments into specific states. And
did you know they're actually running ads on TV for this HR1? I didn't see many of them yesterday. I just happened to be, for an odd reason, watching TV yesterday, and I saw an ad for HR1. I couldn't believe it.
HR1 is the biggest scam, and the fact that they keep telling us how this is going to ensure the democracy in America makes me think, this is even worse than we thought.
Right, exactly. And talking about those Paramount Pictures, how you have to make a new one every 8 years to keep the rights, I also watched part of a Pirates of the Caribbean, and I could not believe how bad that movie was. There was no plot to it. It was just special effects. And, what's his name? The guy that played Whitey Bulger. I can't even remember.
Johnny Depp.
And, wandering around, he looked like he was loaded the entire time. And after a while, I was thinking, you have to be loaded to watch this whole thing. And I turned it off.
And it's wild, Howie, that they keep rebooting these movies. And I'm thinking, who is this for? Why do we need another one? I never watched, like, even the first. Whenever they have these franchises, I never even watched the first one. But the fact that they can go to fourth and fifth, yikes. All right, guys, don't go anywhere. Howie Carr will be up next. And we also have Hate Mail Monday later. The haters are out and they are fierce. This has been The Grace Curley Show.